Welcome to Sober.Coffee, a weekly coffee chat sharing experience, strength, and hope for anyone on the sober road to recovery. You can download Sober.Coffee weekly on all podcast platforms and check us out on Instagram at Sober.Coffee Podcast and on Twitter at Sober Coffee Pod. To learn more about us and to help support these sessions, visit online at Sober.Coffee. Here are your hosts, two guys on their own path of recovery, Mike and Glenn. Let's join them at the coffee shop.
What up, Glenn?
Man, I love being in the coffee shop. No better place to be, actually.
I know. Coffee shop is good.
Just a way to connect about sobriety and pick up tools and tips to,
well, you know what's to get better. You know what's interesting, though?
What, man?
Yes, it's about sobriety. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. I mean, our lives are different now because we're living this sober path, mm-hmm. right? But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is through my life, I've got listeners listening to Sober.Coffee who don't have a drinking problem. They're just listening because we're talking about life hacks and things like honesty and humility and openness and doing real work. Does that make sense? I mean,
it makes so much sense to the point.
Like, yes, it's not just like, you know, we talk about the car crashing into the wall every week here, you know?
So I have to share. First of all, I think we're going live on Instagram.
Are we live, Brian? We're live.
We are live. Hey, so, I mean, we've never gone live on Instagram. I think we have some folks that may jump in and just kind of chat along with us. We'll see how it goes. But it's funny that you say that, because I was having a conversation with my wife last night about retirement, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, she's like, you know, Glenn, you know, I want to stay here, you know, in Chicagoland. We have so many friends and connections. I just got everything figured out. You know, going somewhere else, you know, we're going to, you know, have to figure everything out new. We'll have no friends. And she looks at me and she goes, well, you won't have a problem. And I'm like, well, why is that?
Right.
She said, well, you know, your AA thing, you have, you know, instant brothers and sisters.
Uh-huh.
She said, you can go to 3 meetings and have 10 brand new brothers.
Right.
I mean, close brothers.
And you could do it in Switzerland. You could do it in New York City.
Anywhere,
you could do it in California,
anywhere,
Kentucky.
Right? And she's right.
Yeah.
And then secondly, she goes, oh, in this church group thing you got, you can go to a new church and, you know, within a month,
you'll have 10 new friends.
Yeah, 5 guys in a church group. Right. And she's right, you know. And then she looked at me and she said, hey, she said, what if, she said, is it possible for non-drinkers to go to AA
mm-hmm.
and enjoy and embrace that community? She goes, it's a community. I've never seen a community like that.
Right.
She goes, is
that's
that possible?
Interesting. Yeah.
And I looked at her. I'm like, that's like going to a jail cell without committing a crime.
Yeah, right.
Like why? But she has seen the value of AA, and she's seen, you know, the benefit. And so I said, I think people go to Sexaholics Anonymous without a problem just to find a date.
Glenn, you went there.
But I said, I don't think people go to AA just to find friends if they don't have a drinking problem.
No, usually to enter the gates of AA, somebody's either really convincing you to go there, or you've really convinced yourself it's time. But I guess the thing I'm bringing up is, I've got like my good friend Tony, I've got nieces, they'll listen to the show just to get the life hacks we throw out.
Right. So that's what we've always said. In fact, we've tried it to some degree. We're also in a men's group, spiritual men's group. And what we've always said, and what I've always heard in the rooms, is that, you know, in fact, Dr. John, who we've had on the
right,
show
sure.
quite a number of times, yeah. Dr. John says, hey, it's proven. I think Dr. Scott Peck even said this, the guy that wrote the Road Less Traveled. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, society would benefit.
Right.
From the 12 steps.
Right.
You know, from living differently and living better, I guess.
Right.
Right. And certainly the 12 steps for you and I mean, has changed how we live, how we look at ourselves, how we interact with the universe, the world, how we interact with other people in our lives, how we, you know, cleanse our, you know, our conscience, I guess, at night.
Right.
And yeah. AA is without a doubt, you know, a strong value, strong benefit.
Yeah, Yeah. And it's just, it's given me a new perspective on life, right? So I often said when I was in the throes of my, you know, real addiction, and people would come to me and say, man, you got a drinking problem, right? Now, maybe they'd say it that straightforward. Sometimes they'd fluff it up a little bit, like, hey, you
I
know.
I think the cops in Vegas told you have a drinking problem.
Yeah, they did. They definitely did.
When they threw you out.
When they threw me out, right? But you know, the thing is, my retort was always, it's not the drink. The drinking isn't the problem. I got problems, you know? And with the 12-step program, you deal with those problems. You deal with your past.
For you. Yeah. Okay, so you're saying you drank because you had problems.
That's right.
If you didn't drink, how else would you have dealt with those problems?
I'll tell you how I'm coping with them now. I'm coping with them head on. I mean, an emotion.
Do you think most non-drinkers hit their problems straight on instead of escaping?
No, they might find social media, they might find shopping, they might find working, they might find manipulation, they might find some, you know, exercise. I mean, there's a lot of unhealthy,
what's up with
healthy
those people?
Ways. I know. I mean, if you're going to pick something.
Don't pick exercise, for God's sake.
Though exercise is free. You could do it for free.
Right.
Captain Morgan costs $20 a day.
I know, that's awesome.
Yeah, so who's smart now?
Yeah, no, I think along this path, we have found tools, you know, a toolbox. I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. I mean, because you know what? First of all, life is life. Sometimes life is shit, and shit still happens. But what I can tell you is that I don't have as much shit in my life because I'm not drinking.
Well,
drinking caused
right
95% of my life's problems.
I would say drinking caused 60% of my life's problems.
You're a statistician.
Yeah, right. And, you know, 98.2% of all statistics are made up on the spot and have no validity.
My wife says that about me. She goes, I love your stats. She goes, they mean nothing.
Because we just stat them out.
But
it makes it sound official.
At work, people actually listen to my numbers.
That's right.
Actually believe my numbers.
At work, you actually back up those numbers with a real spreadsheet. So.
Yeah, no, I do try to do that.
Yeah.
All right, man. So we're Instagram Live. Not sure what this means, what we're doing.
It was funny in the email that I sent out to our subscribers. I said, you know, look, we don't know what we're doing. But then again, if anyone who listens to us in any of our couple hundred episodes know that, we have no idea what we're doing. So,
all right. So just full transparency, we come to the coffee shop.
Oh, yeah, right. Not a coffee shop, by the way.
No, it's not a coffee shop. It's Audio Hive in Chicagoland. Brian runs it. Great. Yeah, just professional. We're almost 200 episodes or something.
Right,
almost
right.
3 years we're coming up,
and we've
connected with a lot of people internationally. Actually, I think we have people in Bangladesh and Switzerland, and we're big in the UK, right?
Yeah.
You know, our goal coming out was to connect with one person, right? One alcoholic, one person that maybe could, and we started during COVID, you know, because.
Right.
All the rooms were shut down and people were kind of panicking.
Right, that was kind of our genesis, right? We just wanted to be an outlet for people.
Do you remember the day all the rooms shut down? Do you remember the day I had set something up with my work conference line and nobody knew how to use the conference number?
I know, right?
I know,
right.
That was awesome. And then we went to Zoom and then, I mean, we just still trying to figure this out.
Yeah, right.
But we love connecting with folks, so... you know, if you're on Instagram Live, you obviously found our Instagram channel. We're also, podcast@sober.coffee is our email. We love connecting with people on there, and they reach out and, they share some real problems.
Right.
You know, and what we've been able to do is we have a number of resources we can just, you know, kind of help patch. You know, problems with help, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. But you know, it's great to connect, and you know, we just 6 a.m. So on Saturdays at 6 a.m.
Right.
We just start, and
we record 3, 4, or 5 episodes, and then they drop later. But
right.
Today we're live.
And sometimes we have guests. So we have Danny G with us. We just came out of a coffee with 6 guys.
Right.
And Danny G, he's out taking a smoke, so he'll jump in and say hi. By the way,
I don't think his mom knows he smokes, but thanks for outing him.
Oh, I did out him. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, I hope your mom jumps on.
I know,
Instagram
right?
Live
right, sure.
This morning, that's fantastic. No, but one of the things, and one of my really strong themes is we connect with a lot of people, and they're like, "Hey, man, you know, I really want to get sober." Because I connect on a lot of sober sites, you know, and I see a lot of themes. Hey, I want to get sober, but I hear AA doesn't work, you know, or I tried AA, AA doesn't work, you know, what now, right? Mm-hmm. So we've done a lot of episodes. First of all, our stance, right? It's not like, well, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican, right? Or are you in the middle, are you leftist or rightist? I mean, that's not what we're about at all. We are pro-sobriety.
Pro-sobriety.
I mean, we don't care, you know, if you worship a light bulb and found sobriety. God bless you.
Right.
Right? But when people ask us for help, all we can do is share our story.
Right.
Right? We can only share our experience, our story. And my experience is I've tried several other ways.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried the easier ways, and they haven't worked.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, I mean, I love the sober programs out there that are create your own.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I just love that because guess what? I did that for 50 years.
Right.
I mean, I created a program. Hey, I'm only going to drink beers.
Right.
I mean, I built myself a program. I got myself motivated. I got myself a start date.
Right.
First night, I drank two beers.
Wow.
I went to bed.
Yeah.
I was Superman.
Oh, sure.
I solved all of life's problems that first
Tell me about the next day.
Next day, I had three.
Okay. Still pretty respectable.
Hey, my program, my goals, I built my program.
Pretty
I said,
oh,
I'm going to have two beers, but I had three.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, Glenn, you're getting out of line here.
Mm-hmm.
Third night, drank a handle.
Okay.
You know, so I was...
Cliff, off the cliff.
I was living my own bullshit. And finally, I got to the point, and I was in AA, you know that. I was in AA for a bunch of years, and, you know, I was working my way.
Mm-hmm.
I went to meetings when I felt like it.
Mm-hmm.
I would work the steps when I felt like it. You know, I was honest, rarely, when I felt like it.
Right.
Right? And I got the result. I got another disastrous relapse over and over and over again. And finally, I got to the point, and people say, well, you know, AA doesn't work. How's it work for you? And I, you know, my only response is experience is I got to the point I was sick and tired of my own bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I had enough proof that my bullshit wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got to the point where I said, you know what? I'm going to surrender. And I remember this is... I think I had 3 months sober. I went out to a work conference. I relapsed on the plane on the way out there, and I had no program, right? So I'm sitting in a bar, 6 a.m., at the airport. Guys next to me are drinking Bloody Marys. Waitress turns around, instinctive. She goes, Bloody Mary? And I'm like, absolutely. So, I mean, that's my relapse. I had no gates, no program, no walls, you know, no tools.
Right.
I mean, it was an instant, and I relapsed. And during that week, you know, it was a 7-day conference. I was in a total black. I have no memory of 4 days.
Wow.
And then I hit 6 hospitals across the country coming back. It was in Palm Springs. And I landed up on my, and then an 8-day detox.
Mm-hmm.
And I landed up on my counselor's floor. And I was just so, I had nowhere else. I had no options.
Right.
And I looked at him. I'm like, dude, I will do anything you tell me to do. And I did. That was my counselor of what became a 4-month program. And then I surrendered to my sponsor. I'm like, dude, I'll do whatever. I surrendered to the guys in the program. They're like, Glenn, let's take a walk. Oh, I don't like taking walks. Well, I surrender. I'll take a walk. You know, and then I surrendered to AA. And I surrendered to what that book told me to do. And I surrendered to the rooms of AA and what the people, because they knew how to get through yesterday without drinking by noon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without buying, you know, booze at the gas station at 6:01 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, when people say AA doesn't work, you know, frankly, I almost feel sorry for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like having a winning lottery ticket and not scratching off all the numbers.
Right, right. Can I also throw out there that there's probably reasons why AA doesn't work for individuals or myself, right? And so one of the things, as you suggested at the beginning, we're very pro-sobriety, right? So in our resource room, for example, if you go to sober.coffee, www.sober.coffee, there's a resource room. And we list out all the other alternatives, programs that are out there. I guess my point is that for any of them to work, you have to do the work, right? But don't give up after. I'm talking to the kind of the desperate listener right now, or the desperate Instagrammer. Don't give up, or don't think there's only one way. You know, keep trying, because life on the other side of sobriety is a better life. There's just absolutely nothing. There's no doubt about it. And I thought to myself, how could life be any better without a drink? How could that possibly happen?
So
it's played out for me tremendously. Life happens phenomenally without a drink. It doesn't even faze me anymore.
So how do we bridge from, because right as you were, that took me back to, I mean, when I was hungover and I used to hear people say, oh man, life without drinking is amazing, right? And it was so far away.
Sure, right? I mean, how about it?
Like, how do you bridge from the pain that you're in to, you know, hope and amazing? I mean, I'm 9.5 years away mm-hmm. from that point of surrender. Right. And as I look back, I can see a pretty damn long bridge,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it was at least, you know, and, you know, I'm on, a bunch of stuff, right? And I see people, you know, and I'm not mocking here. I'm just pointing something out, right? They have 8 days sober and their entire lives change and their lives are beautiful and wonderful.
Right,
right. And I mean, hey, God bless them. That did not happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a minimum of a year before I started to see a little spark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I had this, I saw the spark. I felt the spark. And I'm like, I'm just going to stay in this program. I'm going to keep doing this, you know, and hopefully I'll get a little bit of that spark again.
Right.
I had enough of my own bullshit. I wasn't going back to my bullshit.
Right.
And I said, I'm going to stay on this path. But I don't know how to paint a picture for somebody to say, just keep going. Just keep doing it.
Right. Well, yeah, I think two things that jumped out at me. Number one is I felt that spark the first day. And I've, it's never.
Is that because the pain stopped?
Yes.
Or yeah.
No. And I'm not talking about the pain of the lawyer or the pain of the pressure of me drinking or the pain of a bad career place that I had put myself in. I'm talking about that deep internal pain of hopelessness.
Okay, so just to bring people to speed, people may not know your full story. You know, you were a heavy drinker. And you got to the point one morning you woke up and it was another same day of alcoholic bullshit.
It was like Groundhog's Day.
Alcoholic hell, right? And you went to the bathroom and you tried to get yourself together, take another drink, and you said the words, help.
I need help. Yep.
And your wife was within earshot,
right.
Heard that, and then you were whisked away to doctors and to a program. And,
right. Yeah, I ended up in a detox for, apparently they tell me, for 5 days I was in ICU. You know, it was pretty treacherous.
So when did you feel that spark?
As soon as I came back to consciousness, which was about 8 days in.
On the way to rehab?
On the way to rehab.
Driving to rehab.
Yeah. I knew
I'm going to call you out.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to call you out. So what I remember about that drive, yes. about that story is, and it doesn't align with a spark.
No. Uh-huh.
What I remember that is, I think I overshot this.
That's exactly what I told my wife on the way out of rehab. I go, I think I overshot this. Maybe I can tackle this one way. And even though I had decades of experience of not being able to tackle this drink problem, and now I tell her. But here's the point. Yes, I did tell her I think I overshot this, and was the spark very big? But I didn't jump out of the car. I didn't exit the vehicle at a stoplight. I went through it because I needed something different than what I had.
Were you duct taped in?
No, right, exactly. Well, the handcuffs, I didn't have the key, but no.
Well, I remember going, I was in, you know, again, I was in so many hospitalizations, so many detoxes, and I remember I was leaving one detox and I had to go an hour from the detox to my rehab.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour. So I was in detox like 5 days or something, and I had to drive to my rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And they were ready for intake.
Mm-hmm.
And I went by myself. in that 1 hour, I went to the pharmacy and refilled the pain pills prescription.
Wow.
And I went
in 1 hour.
In 1 hour. And in 1 hour, because I showed up on time.
Yeah.
But in the 1 hour, I refilled my meds and I went to a liquor store.
Wow.
And I showed up at the rehab totally hammered.
Wow.
And, you know, they wouldn't take a drug test, sure, right? Right. And I couldn't even take a pee, right? So then I had to go back into another 5-day detox to clean up before I could go. I mean, it was.
Wow, you're like a brochure, man.
That's the crap that we do, man. Yeah. That's the crap. But life's different today.
Right, right.
Right? Yeah. So.
Hey, does this Instagram thing allow us, like if somebody's on live with us right now, can they type in a question? Do we know?
I don't know.
Brett, yeah, they should. Yeah, so if anybody's joining us right now, has a question, comment, that'd be great. We could.
Rapid shots, man. Rapid espresso, sober espresso shots.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I know Bob. Bob from North Dakota.
Say hi, Bob.
Man, what's up, Bob? So we, you know, it's just amazing how, you know, it reminds me, I recently connected with Bob. I don't think he'd mind me sharing the story, but his sponsor recently passed away.
Oh.
And, right, and you know, it's almost like.
How long a relationship did they have, do you know? Years,
I mean. Number of years, I believe.
Okay.
And it's like, what now?
Right? Yeah, right.
You know, it reminded me of when our Mokena Fellowship was going to move locations,
mm-hmm.
right? It almost like shakes your foundation because you.
You got a routine. You know where
you
you're
have
going.
Yeah. I know where I'm going.
Sure,
I know how to get
zone.
There. I know where the bathroom is. I know where the coffee is.
Right,
and,
right, right.
And hey, I didn't have a lot of confidence mm-hmm. you know, early on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've been able to connect with Bob and just kind of, you know, stay connected almost daily with him.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, I mean, I love connecting with sobriety. But, you know, if people think the virtual world doesn't work, you know, this is several years ago. I've got a, you know, at Stay Sober Today mm-hmm. Twitter account. And I connected with this guy, and, you know, he wasn't an AA guy, right? Mm-hmm. And connected with him, and he's like, you know, I talked to him for like 3 months, right? And I said, hey, you know what? I really suggest that they hit the rooms of AA. And I said, give it a try. Just give it a try. He goes, oh, I can't do that. I said, why? He goes, everybody knows me in my little town. And if I go to AA, you know, I walk in that room, they're going to judge me that I might have a problem.
Right.
And I'm like, brother, they got the same problem if they're in the same
right.
room.
Right. Yeah, they're not going there on a social.
Yeah, but just the way the mind works, right. like he never thought of it that way, yeah. you know, and he's like,
I worried about running into people I know in the rooms of AA. Yeah, wow.
He is 3 years sober, and no, I mean, hey, I don't worry about people knowing about my sobriety anymore, but that is a long process.
Yeah, right, right.
For me, man, I hid from a lot of people.
Yeah.
Was Danny locked out? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. So, I mean, hey, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. You know, the one thing I just want to jump in and say, you know, hey, if AA doesn't work, you know, trust me.
Right.
Like Dr. John.
Yeah. You know, like, frequent guest.
Yeah, frequent guest. Go back and listen to his mm-hmm. episodes, you know. You know, I say, Dr. John, what do you say to the people that say AA doesn't work? He goes, they haven't worked it.
They haven't worked it, right.
Yeah, so, right. I mean, you know, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
But we are pro-sobriety and, you know, and another thing early on in sobriety, because we have a lot of sober, curious people that listen to us. You know, we just came out of dry January, and I love the people that say, you know, I'm going to try dry February.
Yeah, my daughter failed at dry January, so she's jumping on to dry February.
Dry February, that's all right, man. You know, dry Wednesday is good.
Right, right.
Right. You know, but early on in the rooms, you know, there's just so much head trash, you know, that I listen to, and you know, and people say, hey man, I'm grateful that I'm an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And like for years, man, I'm like, how in the world could you ever say that, right? I mean, why would you ever be grateful to go through alcoholic hell? But I can just today, now that I got, you know, a little bit of sobriety, mm-hmm. I can sit there and start to understand that mm-hmm. I never would have found this way of living,
right,
that is delivering amazing life today, if it wasn't through going, I had to go through that to get to here.
Well, isn't that the thing? And you know, we've got the Super Bowl tomorrow, right? And I'm telling you, I love following football. I love following the Super Bowl. I know you're not a big NFL fan, but there is a beauty to these guys that have been close before.
Mm-hmm.
There is a drive and a desire in them to get that ring, right?
Right.
And
right.
And yeah, I mean, it's if you want to, if you're shooting for something, then you're gonna. If you haven't tasted it. Now, on the other side of the coin, there's guys that have won the ring already, right? They've won the ring one time. So that's a little different take.
All right, so I just saw Bob just jump in and say, yeah, feel free to go ahead and share. Thanks, Bob. I think we already did. But I love you, man. Yeah, 5 years. You know, he was with his sponsor.
Wow.
You know, hey. Speaking of NFL and football and pro sports,
right? Are we going to have Taylor Swift on as a guest?
No, this is not. Okay. Although Danny D just stepped in the room, so he's like Taylor Swift Jr. You're so sexy.
Yeah, right. I figure if we use the word Taylor Swift enough times through our podcast, we'll get more. Tags, right?
It's like SEO or something,
right? Sure.
You know, but like. Alcoholism and addiction is so, and I'm learning more and more, but it's so prevalent in professional sports.
Oh, sure.
And it's not just, people think of the players and the headlines, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that, man. It's the coaches. It's the trainers. There was just a recent coach that just went through major problems, right? The trainers, the agents, right? The business people and the fans.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm working on a sober app project.
Hmm.
And actually talking to folks in
so like an app
sports.
For the phone,
yeah,
okay,
and talking about a partnership with professional sports because of the demand in professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of professional sports,
yeah,
if you guys watch this Waste Management, the clips from this Waste Management Golf Pro PGA, golf
I just know the weather's been crazy.
The alcohol. They have videos of them carrying people out.
Oh, really?
They have videos of people doing the drunk walk.
Oh, really?
You know, and yeah, jump on, Danny.
Yeah.
What are you doing, man?
Yeah, he's
I was locked out of the sober house. Sober room.
the coffee house,
yeah.
I know.
We awesome. Have certain rules here,
you know,
sir.
You mentioned the Waste Management that's in Phoenix. It's the biggest golf party in the country.
This guy hit a hole-in-one on the 16th hole or what? The big hole.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that was the biggest drinking experience in professional sports.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, I've been there.
If you believe the internet.
Been there.
All right, so Danny, we are live on Instagram, so I mean we don't edit anything anyhow on our show. Good, so it doesn't
matter. We never have, right?
Really
never
matter.
Have, never will.
Yeah. So just to let everybody know, Danny G was here for an earlier episode. Love my brother Danny G. I've known you 10 years or so.
Yeah, you know, there's a thing about, and I'll just go ahead and shoot out the Danny G thing. So, you know, and it was funny because we just came from an episode and we talked about that accountability, that connection with somebody else in the program. Just to, you know, I love Glenn says we can't read our own labels, right? So Danny can read my label better than I can read my own label. And it's just comforting for me. We talked about a safe zone earlier. It's just comforting to me to check in with Dan daily. You know, look, I don't have to. He doesn't get paid to be my babysitter, but
your wife pays me.
Oh, she does. In brownies
and his mom.
Yeah, right. No, but the beautiful thing is, it's just that level. Like in the morning, we check in real fast on text, and then we'll talk during the day. And if we do things outside the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, I just have come to appreciate. What that means in my life, it's just a constant for me. And it's a constant reminder of the goodness I'm living in right now. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. So, Danny, what we try to do is we at times do these, we call them sober espresso shots.
Yeah, right.
Right. Ah. Just kind of like a rapid fire reaction thing, right?
Right.
So.
Are you going to do one right now?
In the spot.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's where the genius happens, I think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you come prepared with page numbers and, you know. So what's your number one sober tool that you use?
Tool?
Yeah.
Prayer.
Okay, and how often a day do you pray?
Throughout the day. I mean, there's no set number. I mean, I don't have a routine, but numerous times. Numerous times.
Okay, and do you pray to your higher power?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
What percentage of the prayers are for praise and gratitude, and what are, like, desperation prayers?
Oh, it's all gratitude. It's all thankfulness.
So 90-plus percent.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What was it? What was it 10 years ago?
I want.
Yeah, right.
Please.
Right.
So it's a grocery
I deserve.
A Christmas list.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you know,
I pray for others. I pray for others. And even folks that have wronged me. I mean, you guys know my personal situations. I have learned to be grateful for the not so good things in life. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. I never thought I'd ever say that. And I mean it. Mm-hmm. I mean it. It makes me it clears, as we were talking earlier on the other episode, clears my head of all the stuff I don't want in there.
Right. Right.
So that reminds me of a line that I've heard, and certainly in AA there's a bunch of phrases, right? Prayer changes the prayer.
The prayer.
Right. Prayer changes the people that pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what you just said, gets you out of you, right? Especially praying for enemies. Right.
Yeah.
Or people that piss you off.
Right. Wronged in business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I mean, it's, you know, okay, so.
And it's not praying for outcomes. I used to pray for, I want a desired outcome.
Right.
Now I just, you know, how you wish, your will.
Did I ever tell you my two favorite prayers that I literally prayed for 20 years? I mean, this is no lie. These are two prayers that I prayed for 20 years. The one is, God, please stop the shakes. And the second one is, God, please give me $1 million. So let's set that aside for a second. So I'm, obviously sliding down the alcoholic sled hill, on full speed ahead. And so I tell my parents about my alcoholism. And my mom looks at me and she goes, son, all you have to do is pray. And I'm like, Mom, you don't understand, man. I got 10 PhDs from Rush.
Right.
You know, I'm on a highly functional program at Rush, 10 PhDs. I got, you know, I'm on this, I'm on medicines.
They're going to fix me.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't understand, Mom. You're clueless, right? But as I look back, she was 1,000% right. I just didn't, I had no idea what that meant at the time. So what I've learned in sobriety and what I've learned about prayer is my two prayers were answered. Not just how I wanted them to be answered. What I learned is I was given a program of Alcoholics Anonymous where I could learn to change my way of living so I didn't need to drink to escape that life.
And ergo, you wouldn't have the shakes.
I didn't have the shakes. Guess what, Mikey?
All right, they went away.
If I don't drink,
the $1 million.
Yeah, right.
You know, if I don't drink, I don't get the shakes.
Right.
And then secondly, I didn't wake up one day and there was $1 million in my bank account. But guess what? God gave me health. He gave me talent. You know, He gave me drive to go out and grind it out where I could earn $1 million.
Right.
Over a period of time.
Right.
Right.
A million years.
Right. A million years. Right. But it was, I mean, as I look back, I'm grateful. I mean, but I learned a good lesson from that. And it's, you know, hey, there's action, right? There's a chapter in the book called Into Action,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, there's actions that I have to do. Reminds me of college. I think I've told this story before. I went to a Christian college and, you know, I mean, I went for business, but, you know, there are a lot of pastor wannabes there.
And, mm-hmm.
and I remember this dude. We had a big test coming up on Friday. All week long, didn't study. And I'm like, what are you doing for the test? He goes, I'm praying about it. I'm like, aren't you going to study? No, God's got His hands on me. It's my will. You know, it's God's will. I'm just going to do well. Well, he failed, mm-hmm. right? And he couldn't wrap his head around it, right? And that's into action, right? I have to do the action today, but I've got some momentum around me. I still don't have it all figured out. We're still trying to figure it out. But, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, hey, you know what? God does answer. But when you pray, you get outside your own ego, I think when I pray, I recognize that I'm not God, right? And, and that's a big lesson for me and for some of us. Secondly, is I'm like, you know what? I can't do this alone. You know, I need help. And that's why, you know, I reach out to you guys because I can't live life alone.
Right, right. Know?
But prayer changes the prayer.
Yeah, I like that. I like that terminology a lot. So my tool that I use daily is to bring myself back to October 13th, 2018 for a moment.
Somehow, do you do that daily?
I daily.
Yeah.
I need to bring, because like you said about the bridge, there's a long bridge to that 5.5 years ago, right? There's a long bridge. So I physically, mentally bring myself back there just for a nanosecond. I just need to remember the feeling, that pit in my stomach of where I was, and then quickly move on and say, but I need to bring myself back there the best I can to remember that pain, because if I don't remember the pain of the loss, I'm never going to do the work for the victory.
So do you visualize it, or do you actually feel, try to
feel it?
Emulate,
I try and
feel
it.
How you felt.
I try and feel it.
God, that's a dark place, isn't it?
You force yourself to throw up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Literally and figuratively.
Wow, man.
Could you go get Karen? Thank you.
So we, bye, Danny.
Thanks, Danny. He's coming back. He's
coming
back.
Oh, Danny's coming back. Yeah. Hey, don't lock yourself out this time.
That's right.
He's going to grab another quick smoke. Sorry, Mom.
Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead, Glenn.
No, so I just, I mean, there's a lot about, you know, sobriety and working with people in sobriety. And I mean, you know, I had a check-in with my wife a couple weeks ago. And you know, I told her, I said, hey, I said, the most important thing in my life is, I mean, she's number three on my list.
Ouch.
You know, and she embraces that.
She embraces, yeah.
She's cool with that. Well, she likes the results.
Right.
I said, I value how much, I said, my number one, you know, January 6th in the 24-hour reading, most important thing in my life is to stay sober.
Right.
And I really believe 100% without sobriety, I have
nothing. We have
nothing.
No, I don't have spirituality. I don't have relationships.
I'm telling you, everything I've built in the last 9.5 years
is gone.
If I drank in 1 week,
it's all gone.
It'd be gone.
Yeah, isn't that terrible?
It just blows my mind. Like I go grocery shopping now, and I see the bottle of Stoli sitting on the end with the cranberry cheese. That's my favorite drink. They do that on purpose.
Right.
And I look at that today, and I'm like, if I sat there in 10 minutes, I would dismantle my entire life that I've built for 9.5 years.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that just blows my mind.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's no difference that and a gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so it's I told her, I said, hey, I value that you embrace my sobriety. You know, I can do anything I need to do for sobriety, you know.
Hey, we got a comment. We got old timery. I don't have my glasses, but it says went to AA in
96.
Never looked back. 17 years now, still sober. Wow.
Mike. Get your glasses. It's 37 years.
Yeah, whatever.
37 years. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks. Brian just blew it up for me so I could read it better. There you go.
Old timer, man. 37 years.
Wow, that's fantastic.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's incredible to me that I made my journey, but I can't imagine. But I don't have to try and imagine 37 years. All I really have to do is imagine this next day.
Yeah, you know? And I had that. I mean, first of all, I will never hit 37 years of sobriety.
Yeah, statistically, I'll be dead first.
No, right? I mean, hey, I just won't. But, I mean, I never in my life thought I hit 8.5.
Yeah, right.
Never. I mean, right. I couldn't hit a week, right?
Well, what's the math? Seriously, what's the math? Grab a pen. What would you have to be? How old would you have to be for 37? So you only need 20-some more years.
Hey, Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Karen, we are live on
Instagram.
We're live
on Instagram, so just so you could just say hi.
So I don't know, man. I mean, I'd be 100.
Okay, so that's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm not going to argue it. But you know what? For me, I can't relate to 37 years.
Right.
Because I've never done 37 years. But when I work with younger people and I'm on social media a bunch with folks that are staying sober, I can relate to 32 days.
Yeah, right. Totally, because I lived that, right?
I did that a bunch of times, right? Right. You know, I can relate to a year.
Mm-hmm.
I can relate to a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I'll tell you what. It took the first 30 days. I didn't sleep for 30 days. I mean, I can relate to that.
Right.
So when people reach out on a bunch of sober sites that I'm on and connected to, I mean, they're like, hey, how, you know, I'm 2 weeks sober. How do I sleep? I can jump in.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, not well.
Yeah, right. Right. Right.
Well, you know what? I mean, sometimes you just got to get through it, right? Sometimes you got to suffer better. But now I have tools. I'm like, hey, here's what I've done. Hey, you know, I took a Benadryl. You know, second thing, I listen to guided meditation. You know, guided meditation, you know, YouTube, it, search it on YouTube. I mean, that stuff is amazing.
Right.
Gets you out of here. And I first learned about that when I was in my 8-day detox. I went from painful chair to sitting on a beach in 35 seconds. And for, you know, 30 minutes, I was on a beach.
Wow.
Totally outside my head, totally escaped, very peaceful. And then the girl left the room, and I came back to my hell.
Oh.
But so, Karen, get your headphones on. Say hi.
Yeah, say hi. So
the party's going.
So, espresso shot. Quick response. Relapse is part of recovery.
Bullshit.
Okay.
So I first of all, it was absolutely a part of mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I was relapse king. I've relapsed so many times. But I see so many times, and I'm probably being a jerk here, but I see so many times on social media where people relapse and they just want to give hugs and they want to, oh, welcome back. It's great. You know, and I kind of, you know, I kind of went, hey, Devin just jumped in 151 days sober.
Oh,
man.
Way to go, Devin.
That's
man.
Awesome. That's awesome. All right. Old timer, he was 34. Now he's 72. We're trying to do the math on that. So that's great. Thanks for the comments.
Wow, 151 days is fantastic, man.
But you know what? We know and we have gone. I mean, for me, today, because I always like the hugs too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I relapsed and screwed up yet again.
Right, sure.
You know, I enjoyed the hugs, right?
Right.
But what I've learned is relapse is a fire alarm.
Mm-hmm.
It is a serious, urgent fire alarm that something in your program is not working right,
mm-hmm.
right? That something needs to be addressed, something needs to be elevated, some changes are needed. And what I've said, because I was with somebody this week, you know, very big in sobriety they are, and they were all about the hugs,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you know, relapse doesn't matter. You know what? Tell that to the people whose funerals we've gone to
right.
because they've relapsed. Relapse is serious as fuck. And I'm telling you, I just wish people would say, hey, man, it's a blazing fire alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, let me double down, triple down, quadruple down. Let me make changes. Maybe I need to change sponsor. Maybe I need to go to more meetings. Maybe I need to surrender more, right? Maybe I need to work the steps instead of just saying I'm working the steps, right? Maybe it's something. So that's my...
Wow, don't hold back.
Karen, wow. how do you
Karen?
Feel about that?
Relapse is part of recovery.
Huh?
Yeah.
By the way, welcome, Karen. Karen's been on a number of our episodes. She just stepped in, and boy, she stepped in.
No, not drinking is part of recovery.
Right.
Relapse is part of addiction.
Right.
Now, is it part of people's journey? Yes. And I'm 100% with you. Like, I think we give people a pass too easily.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone relapses, of course I welcome them back. I want them back. But I encourage them to get in touch with either what you were doing that you shouldn't have been
mm-hmm.
or what weren't you doing that you should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to relapse.
Right.
We have 8 quadrillion tools
right.
at our disposal.
Right.
The what do they say? The kit of spiritual tools?
Right. 8 quadrillion?
Wow.
It might only be 7.5 quadrillion.
I forget. All right,
The last time I counted,
it was roughly eight.
A few, so I think it's almost 8 quadrillion. But you don't have to drink. So
yeah.
if people do what they're supposed to do and don't do what they're not supposed to do,
right.
then you're not going to drink.
You're not going to drink.
If you don't want to drink, you're not going to drink.
Right.
I think relapse is part of an imperfect first step.
Okay.
Ooh,
I like that.
Because if
I
really believed in my soul and in my gut and in my heart that I am powerless over this shit, I'm not going to put it in my body.
Right.
right?
Right.
But there, if there's something in me that makes me pick up a drink, mm-hmm. it's not an outside, it's not an environmental thing. It's not something that happened that yep. made me drink. Yep. It's I thought I could handle it. Mm-hmm. I took my ego back, my will back, and said, hey, I can, this will be all right. It'll be different this time.
Right.
It'll
right.
be different this time, they said.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. So it's not a part of recovery.
Danny?
Yes.
Recovery. Relapse is part of recovery.
Well, it is. Pardon me, Glenn. It is. However, I agree with you. It is a absolute warning sign. You know, shoot the lights out. I think a lot of people, especially early on in recovery process, don't distinguish between guilt and shame. And I think that's a big, you know, factor in why we do embrace people, because they're shamed. Mm-hmm. And I think shame is one of the seven deadly, you know, emotions mm-hmm. that we have to understand, either in recovery or just in life. Mm-hmm. I know I thought they're both one and the same, and it took me a long time to separate that. You know what the difference is. You know, shame is we're bad people. Guilt, we did some bad things. You know, I thought I was a bad person, you know, because of my drinking, mm-hmm. and I needed to be welcomed back in because I was so ashamed of myself. If someone gave me like a really hard time walking back in the room after a relapse, it'd affect me. And, you know, I might do something really, really stupid. So kind of both sides. I mean, mm-hmm. I hear you. Totally hear you.
Yeah,
It's not okay.
People.
No.
But I think there needs to be an awareness. There needs to be an alert of some sort.
Right.
Saying,
I totally agree.
Hey, man, totally you know
agree.
What? You know, And for my own experience, I mean, first of all, AA is one of the most welcoming places that you will ever find in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can walk in and be whoever you are. You can be your real you,
right.
and you are loved. I mean, I have seen all kinds walk in, including myself, walk in, and it doesn't matter what you're carrying. You know, people will help you carry it
mm-hmm.
For the most part. But, I mean, I don't think I had a lot of coddlers when I came back in the room, right? And I had one guy who really set off the fire alarm with me. And, you know, I come in, oh, Glenn, are you okay? Come on. Hey, sit next to me. Hey, let me get you a cup of coffee. Oh, your hand's shaking. Let me get a cup of coffee. You know, and I loved that, needed that. But I had a guy pull me outside one time. I call him Angry Sammy. He's actually turned out to be my great, my grand sponsor. And he pulled me outside, and he gave me the fire alarm. And he's like, look, man, you're on the edge. You keep doing this. You know,
you could die.
You aren't going to make it back.
Right.
You know, and he was right, because I had his neurosurgeon dude in red scrubs at 3 o'clock in the morning said, you're not going to live till morning because you finally did too much. You got a brain bleed. We can't fix it. You're going to die. And when that dude told me that, I remembered Angry Sammy. And I remembered, hey, and I was fine. I was resolute. First of all, I was drunk. I had like a 3-something, you know. And I was like, okay, booze finally got me, you know. Sammy was right, you know. But so I don't know. I'm not saying beat people up, but I saw value in being pulled aside and say, hey, man, there's a fire alarm going off. You know, let's work on this together. Let's do something.
Can I say two things? First of all, we're almost done with our Instagram time, because we've got another session that we've got to jump on. So, but I would like to add to the mix that, and first of all, let me define relapse, because in my drinking career and my trying to stop career, I relapsed a million times in my whatever that number
relapses,
was.
Though.
Those aren't.
You have
yeah,
to
this
be
is
sober
before,
you come
trillions. Quadrillion. Okay. Yes, I've tried a quadrillion times to quit drinking, and every one of my attempts failed. The minute I walked in the doors of AA, I didn't look back. I didn't have a relapse event after I took that first step. So I agree with Karen and in that it doesn't have to be part of your story. If you really embrace your powerlessness,
if you surrender.
It doesn't have to be. I guess I'm talking to Devin a little bit. At 151 days, You know, it doesn't have to relapse. It doesn't have to be on my resume to call me a successful recoverer. And relapse might be part of my story tomorrow. I don't know. Today, I'm going to work on it not being part of my story.
Right.
But just part. It doesn't have to be part of somebody's story. You don't need that on your resume.
I will tell you this real quick. When I was, like I said, you have to be sober before you can relapse. So trying to get sober, I don't really call those relapses.
Mm-hmm.
I was 3 days short of a year sober, and I went back out. Something happened that made me think a drink would fix it. And I went out for another year. And when I came back in, I came in the program when there was, like in the book, like all old guys, you know?
Oh, sure.
So old men, not young girls, yes.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
So I go to a meeting, and here's all the old guys, you know, and there's some girls going, oh, it's okay, sweetheart. And I'm all crying and blubbering, and it's okay, sit down, sweetie, you'll be okay. And this old guy says, shut up, sit down, it's not okay. Listen to what we're telling you.
Yeah,
and he was like really mean. I was scared shitless.
All right.
And he didn't make it okay. He said, we're going to help you. Sit down. Just listen. Quit talking. And he just made me listen to what they were saying. And he didn't coddle me. And he didn't kiss my ass. He told him to quit kissing my ass.
Yeah, right.
So I felt welcome. But at the same time, I was being told there's a solution. And shut up and we'll teach it to you. You know, I think we need a little more... We need the love, but we need it to be a little tougher.
Tough love.
Because otherwise, I'm co-signing your bullshit, and you're just going to keep doing it if I tell you it's okay.
That's right. Yeah, it is that
totally, man. Hey, you know what? I mean, I've had people tell me, hey, Glenn, you love the coddles too much, right? When you go to rehabs, they wait on you.
Yeah.
When you go to these detoxes, all the nurses, hey, they feed you ice cream.
But I didn't go the kind of detox you want. There was no ocean at my detox.
No.
Right. Well, that's what I mean, I've had people literally point that out and say, you know what? Maybe there's ulterior motive here. Maybe something inside you loves to be coddled and waited
right,
on. And,
right.
You know,
right.
And I'm like,
five-star resort?
Yeah, what do you know?
Yeah, right.
Club med for the head?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Hey, got to say thank you to everybody for joining us on, give us a scroll up and down there, Brian.
Yeah, we've never done live Instagram.
Yeah, we've never done it, so
I'm at the
glad
first
we
one.
Did it. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
first
so
one.
Fun.
Karen, we've never done this, so.
Brian, if you can, there you go. So, Wet Willie, I love that. Good to see you guys this morning. Good to see you too, Deep Freeze Bob.
Deep Freeze Bob, man, from North Dakota.
Old timery, thank you very much. Devin, good luck, man. Rock it out.
Great first.
Scotland, welcome. Congrats to everybody. Really, really appreciate you guys. Reach out. Check out our website. If you don't, go back, listen to some of our archived stuff. Check out the resource room and check out the writings.
Sober.coffee.
www.sober.coffee.
No com. Sober.coffee.
We're just
a bunch
cool.
of writings in there. Just some genius writings, man. I don't worry. ChatGPT does a nice job.
Thank you, Instagram. And Devin, keep us posted on your sobriety journey. Love you, man.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for today's Coffee Chat. To contact the show, email us at podcast@sober.coffee. If you need immediate help, the AA hotline is 800-839-1686. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 800-273-8255. Remember, Mike and Glenn are sharing their own journey on the path to recovery. Any suggestions, medical or otherwise, are their own experiences and should not be viewed as professional advice. See you next week, and remember, there is a solution.